Hi, I'm Daniel Lenzian, host of Western New York Soundstage from Buffalo Rising and Local Matters Studios. Western New York Soundstage is a podcast that looks to explore Western New York's creative economy through a series of conversations with artists, musicians, producers, directors, and authors from Western New York and beyond. On today's episode, I speak to Carissa Morrell Myers, an award-winning Filipino-American theater artist based in Chicago. Her work in acting, playwriting, and advocacy for diversity has been recognized in American Theater Magazine, and her plays have been produced at numerous prestigious theaters, including the Goodman Theater, the Court Theater, and Renaissance Theater Works. Her play, Black Bear Island, is being produced by Alleyway Theater February 14th through March 8th. Tickets are available at alleyway.com. In this interview, Carissa and I speak about her early inspirations, the genesis of Black Bear Island, and the power of deep storytelling in the theater. And, as you will find out in this episode, I am the director of Black Bear Island. I hope you enjoy my interview with Carissa. Carissa Morrell Myers, thanks so much for chatting with me today. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. I always like to start off these interviews by asking, is there a story from your youth that relates to what you do now?
It's a really interesting story. So I can remember really wanting to be a mystery novelist when I was younger. Like, that was one of the first things I was like, oh, that's what I'm going to do with my life. And I was always like making up stories with my stuffed animals and my Barbies. And I would have these like really dramatic storylines that I would tell with them, which I think that play has directly translated into my work as a playwright now.
That's fantastic. You have an MFA in performance from the University of Hawaii at Manoa. From what I understand, this program is an incredibly special program, and I'd love to maybe ask you to talk a little bit about it and maybe share something that from the program that you kind of still keep with you.
Yeah. So one of the reasons I chose to go there was because UH does this really wonderful thing where they teach Western performance styles at the same level that they teach Asian performance styles. And then they also do fusion styles. And when I was looking for a graduate program, I really wanted to find something that was going to challenge me and make me step out of my comfort zone, if you will. And it's also Hawaii. It's beautiful there. Why wouldn't one want to go? So when I was there, you know, some of the things that I got to be exposed to and learn, I learned some like bunraku, which is a Japanese puppetry form, jingju, specifically like the voice, and I'm almost a singer. Like, I trained in opera for 5 years. And so that was very exciting to get to apply my voice and my technical skills in a totally different way. One of the pieces that I did that was quite challenging that I think will always stay with me is this play called Thread Hell, which is an avant-garde Japanese piece that was developed, I believe, in like the 1970s. And I there was just something about like the precision of movement and in storytelling that I think I don't really find in Western theater that I am really so very grateful that I had that experience to learn.
Fantastic. So going along with that, you are a multi-hyphenate artist. You're an actor, you're a playwright, you're an artistic director, you work in casting. I'm sure there are other things that I'm missing, but which of those sort of which of those disciplines came first?
So I think acting first. You know, I remember being in like skits and stuff when I was a kid. And when I was in high school, I started a drama troupe with my friends, and I was acting in these little plays. I was directing the plays. And then when I went to Boise State University, which is where I got my undergrad, I was primarily like a director and an actor. So I was on that track where I did both of those things.
Fantastic. How do these disciplines inform each other?
Well, I think it all relates back to me just being a storyteller, you know, and I think that, you know, it's just looking at how to tell a story from a different perspective. You know, as an actor, I'm doing so with my voice and my body, you know, and I'm applying what I know about objectives and tactics and stuff to kind of get to the heart of, okay, what is this specific character wanting to do and why? You know, as a playwright, you have a much, and as a director too, you know, you have a much broader view of, okay, so what is the actual story that I'm trying to tell here? And how do all of the characters and all of the other elements fit into the storytelling?
Thank you. You know, so if you're this far into the episode, I'm sure like it's time for a spoiler alert. I am directing Blackbird Island at Alleyway Theater Company. So Carissa and I know each other a little bit. So thanks for hanging in there for the first couple of questions. But I want to say too, I really feel kind of the influence of an actor inside of the script and working with it because the scene work is so sophisticated. And what I think is so powerful about Black Bear Island is that sort of scenes really sort of shift and change on a dime, and the sort of amount of presence that's needed to kind of really do these pieces and work through them and sort of figure them out and sort of track the breadcrumbs that you've left is incredible and really comes from someone who deeply understands performance and acting on a cellular level.
Thank you for saying that. That's very nice.
Are you aware of that at all? Or have you had any kind of understanding of that in hearing your work or seeing your work, or has this been reflected to you before?
Yeah, I mean, I will say that as a playwright, I try to write characters that if I fit that demographic, I would personally be very excited to play. And so when I'm writing it, I really do play all of the characters in my own head, or I'm literally speaking the lines out loud as I'm writing and editing them. Which is fun, so that I'm also making sure that the quality of the dialogue feels naturalistic in my mouth and that the arcs of every single character make sense, right? We want to start from one point and then get to another point with every character. And I do think that my training in performance does really help with that because I'm so used to being in just, one character line and being like, okay, so this character, what does she want? What is she doing? Where are we going? And I want to start from one place and get to somewhere else that's totally new and different by the end of the piece. And and sometimes, you get a script and you're like, this character does not change, And so when I'm writing them, I want to make sure that that is true for every character, that they have an arc, that they have a distinctive voice.
Thank you. Can you tell us a little bit about Bramble Theatre Company and your work as artistic director?
Bramble Theatre Company is something that I founded with my co-founder Matt Lunt in 2021. We are an ensemble of, oh gosh, I think we're 17 people now. And we came out of the school at Steppenwolf class 2019, which was the last class before it got, unfortunately, the axe via the pandemic. And our work together was so profound during the class, which is it was a 10-week intensive training where you were training together for 50 hours a week. So it was for 10 weeks straight. So it was quite intensive. And we got very close. And I felt that the language we had created with each other within our ensemble was so unique and something, quite frankly, I'd never find again, even if I tried to put another to get, ensemble together for the next 1,000 years. So I was like, I really think that we should just start a theater company out of that. So we did. And out of the t original 24 ensemble members that we had, we have 17 now, which is a huge accomplishment in my book, just because I was like, if I can get 10 of these people to agree to start a company with me, I will be happy. And so our focus, is really about the development of new work. Like we want to be creating theater for this new era of the world. Things have just changed so much, as probably everyone knows, post-lockdown. We're not the same people that we were in 2019. Our focuses are different. There's larger conversations about mental health and how do we take care of each other? And, what does it mean to be human when we have this ever-present internet force in our lives? How do you retain your humanity and also participate in social media? So there's all these questions about like who are we people now, and trying to discover that for ourselves, and we're doing that through our art. One of the things that we're very interested in doing is we are like a nonprofit and a storefront theater, so we're not equity yet, but we are really interested in pay equity. That's one of our values. And so I actually launched this callback stipend program. So any actor that comes to their callback will get a stipend to pay them for their work, just because this is labor. And I really, as an actor, like it's frustrating when you go to audition after audition after audition, and you're spending a lot of time and a lot of hours and resources, quite frankly, to audition, and then you don't get anything back for it. Like we want to start changing the conversation around how do we pay actors equitably.
Fantastic. The theater company, you said, is really kind of championing new works, right? And as a writer of new works, I'm interested to know what inspires you as a writer.
There's so many things that inspire me as a writer. Oh my goodness. So I like to say that I like to write theater for people who like to watch television. I love watching TV, and it has to be a really great show, quite frankly, to get me out of my house to stop watching television and to go to the theater. I still love theater, of course. It's like my first love. But one of the things that I love about TV is the character development of these like long form stories, you know? And so that's something that I'm really interested in as a writer. I do also draw a lot of inspiration from my own life and the people that I know in it. You know, I think my family has remarked multiple times that they've read or seen my work and they're like, did you base a character off of me? You know, just because I find real people fascinating, and I'm very interested in that. that's where I draw a lot of inspiration.
No, that's fantastic. And I can really see those influences in Blackbird Island, which will be opening very shortly at Alleyway Theater in Buffalo, New York. For a person listening who just sort of maybe is subscribing to the podcast, who doesn't know anything about it, how might you describe Blackbird Island?
Yeah, so Blackbird Island is a gothic, magical, realistic thriller about a woman who has come home after being gone for 16 plus years to discover what has happened to her estranged best friend and childhood sweetheart who has mysteriously passed away. And so it's about, you know, confronting the past, confronting who you really are, and the paths that we all take in our lives that sometimes lead us to regret. And how do you deal with that regret and sometimes guilt in trying to move forward into the future?
Thank you. I think Blackbird Island is a fascinating play, and it continues to work on me every day because of so many of the images contained in the stage directions of the script. How do these images inform your writing, and how do they find themselves in your writing?
Yeah, so I tend to write more from my gut and my subconscious versus this is an intellectual exercise where I'm going to write a story in a play. And so sometimes these images, I can just feel them or I sense them. And so I'm interested in trying to figure out, okay, what is that thing that I'm really trying to convey here? Or, you know, there's a feeling that I'm wanting to, you know, get across to the audience. So I'm like, okay, how can I do that through, you know, possibly like through lights or through sound, or, you know, just through the atmosphere. Like, how is that? How are we telling that story? The funny thing about this play is that I originally started writing it when I was visiting my best friend in, oh gosh, I think it was like fall of 2021. She had just purchased this property in the Pacific Northwest. So she literally lives in a forest, which is so cool. And she built a house in this forest, you know. So I wanted to go visit her and check out the house. And when I was out there, you know, I was like, hey, I'm gonna go work on your back patio. And she said, okay, well, when you go out there, just watch out for the bear. And I was so shook by that statement. It was so casual. And I asked her, what does she mean? I was like, what are you talking about? And she goes, oh, there's a neighborhood bear and he might be out there. So if you see him, just come inside. And so I was so nervous. So I went outside and I was like, okay, I'm just going to do my work. But every time I would hear a sound, you know, like a click in the woods or some rustling, my heart would just stop. And I would, the whole body, the whole, you know, the nervous system just shuts down. And then you're looking into this dense forest wondering, is there something there? Is something watching me? Am I in danger? And so that suspension of time was something that I was really interested in seeing if I could translate it onto the stage, which is why, you know, if you come and see Blackbird Island, there are moments when characters are in the woods and then you'll hear something in the distance and everyone freezes, right? And so then the characters are trying to, you know, sort out, are we in danger? Is there something out there? What is watching me? And I think that as an audience member, we can all relate to that feeling. Even if you've never been in the woods, I mean, I have this feeling that like terror that kind of grips you and the suspension of time. Sometimes when I'm just like walking out around in the city, you know, I feel like the hairs on my back, hairs on the back of my neck go up. And I feel like, is someone following me? Am I being watched? You know, am I potentially in danger? Is someone going to leap out and try to like mug me or grab me? Or, you know, I think that this is a universal feeling of potential harm that is coming to me, or, you know, the threat of violence enacted upon me and my body. And I think everyone can relate to that. I think that is a very human thing that we all deal with in this world. And so I was really struck by that moment. And so that's where the play really started for me, was I was like, how do I translate that feeling onto the stage?
Thank you. You know, I always know an interview is like going in a great direction when my sort of next like two questions are answered by the question before. But just no. And so thank you. Like, that's wonderful. But just to kind of put it out in the air, I'd love to ask, and it's already been answered, but maybe, you know, something else will come up by asking it directly, is what do you hope audiences feel at Black Bear Island?
That is such a hard question for me to answer, because I feel like everyone is going to have their own experience, and I would really hesitate to want to put anything on anyone. I hope you walk in, if you come see the show, and you are open to being surprised, that you are open to the experience and allow yourself to kind of trust in the play and trust in your own instincts and allow yourself to really feel.
It's fantastic. And then final sort of in the same thing, although we're not necessarily prescribing anything to audiences, but let's say all of a sudden sort of you're magically kind of a bug in the car of two people who saw Black Bear Island on the way home, right? What do you hope that they're saying or discussing or talking about maybe on the car ride home, if you could be that little sort of bug just overhearing them?
Yeah, I think it would be really fun if these audience members get to dissect the play afterwards. You know, there are a lot of little clues and nuggets woven throughout the piece that don't merely make sense, quite frankly, until you get to the end. And so it's fun. It's been fun for me, like in other development processes or just talking to people that have encountered this play before, like in other readings or whatever. And they'll be like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize until a day later that the thing that I saw in scene one was directly related to the climax of the play, you know. But I don't think you can do that unless obviously you've seen the whole piece, and then you have to kind of sit with it and then think back about all the little clues that you might have missed while you were watching the piece in the first go around, which is why I think it's a great play to watch twice, because you could, you know, it's the same thing when I watched True Detective, right? Because I saw it once and it was great. And then when I watched it again, I was picking up on all of the little clues that I had missed or didn't realize it was like a part of like the bigger mystery later on.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time. Those are my questions, but I always like to ask an interview by saying, is there anything you feel was left unsaid or anything you'd like to share with our audiences before we say goodbye?
I'm just really excited to be in Buffalo very soon and be sharing this work with Buffalo audiences. I've always been a Buffalo Bills fan because my mom is a big Buffalo Bills fan, and one of my best friends is actually from there. So I'm just really excited to be in your city and share the story with y'all.
Fantastic. Well, we look forward to having you. All the information will be in the intro and outro of the episode and in the show notes. Thank you so much for your time, Carissa. It's always great to chat with you.
Thanks.
Well, that was my interview with Carissa Morrell Myers. I hope you will consider getting a ticket for Alleyway Theater Company's production of Black Bear Island, which is playing from February 14th through March 8th, 2025. Tickets are available at alleyway.com and in the show notes. This episode was produced by Jessica Marinelli. Sarah Potter engineered this episode. In addition to this podcast, you can check out our local event guides posted bi-monthly on buffalorising.com. Make sure you subscribe to the show. If you like the show, please recommend it to a friend. Thanks for listening to Western New York Soundstage from Buffalo Rising and Local Matters Studios.